Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished author, a social media guru, Mr. Tim Lewis from London, UK. Tim, welcome to the show.
It's great to be on the show, Ash. Thank you.
Thank you. Tim, as I mentioned, is an author. He's a social media networking expert. He's a live show host. And he just told me he's traveled to all the 50 states of the US. So he's an avid traveler. Tim also runs the Amazon.com live book chat live. So Tim, let's start with your first avatar as an author. Yeah. Tell me about your books.
Well, for many, like you, I've had many careers and I've had many journeys. I used to work in financial IT, and after my wife died in 2011, I decided to, I was going to change job. I was going to do like IT contracting work. But during my notice period, I read this book about self-publishing called Write, Publish, Repeat.
Yeah.
So I thought, I've always wanted to write books and I've always done it. So I actually did, and I wrote my first novella called Time Shock, which is a time travel book, 2014.
Yeah.
And then I write two further books in that series. That book did reasonably well. I self-published it on Amazon and all the other platforms like Kobo and the like. And then I started writing fantasy books in 2015 to 17, I think, something like that. And the funny thing was, I got more and more interested in how to market the books, because anybody who's been an author knows that some books will do well and some books won't do well, and it's almost inexplicable why.
Correct.
And I got very interested in social media and social media marketing. And I went to a lot of conferences, I did a lot of stuff. I still don't really know how to market books, potentially. I have worked out, and anybody who actually knows anything about books will tell you they are probably one of the hardest things to market.
Absolutely.
Because they're a low value product. And so, like, for example, if you were doing Facebook ads for your book, like, you may make $1 or if you're, or even like 25 cents off per copy of that book. So you would have to be able to advertise at less cost than that. And that's actually very difficult now, because Facebook ads and that kind of stuff is really difficult.
Yeah.
So the last book I wrote was actually in 2019, I think, 2018, it was Social Media Networking. And that is where I interviewed a lot of people I met at conferences and around the world who had used social media to get ahead in their life. Because I think it's somewhere... there's too many people who think about social media as like a transactional thing. So I will post this book, post about my book, and then you'll buy it. And in real world, that doesn't really happen. That's the last stage. Because somebody might see you on social media, but they're like, who the hell is this guy? It's like, But the value in social media is in the connections. So let's say I meet you on a group about podcasters, because we're both podcasters. Well, both, well, I'm not... depends whether you consider a live show a podcast or not, but let's say we met at a show group.
Correct.
Then I get to know you and you seem like, oh, he's a nice guy. Then if I saw you posted about your book, I'm way more likely to buy your book.
Absolutely.
So that was kind of, that is where I've seen, and I mean, I've got job opportunities. I've met fantastic connections. I've spoken at conferences, all out of social media connections, and it's all out of networking. So that was what I was trying to do. I was basically channeling the success of other people via that book.
But I'm going to come to social media networking in the second part of our conversation. I want to come back to your writing, and you've written so many books. For a lot of our viewers and listeners, I want to know from you, what makes a good writer?
Well, it's, I mean, maybe it's imposter syndrome, but I don't necessarily think I'm a good writer. I've written prolifically, but I'm a good writer. Ultimately, though, you would say that a good writer is one who actually finishes things and puts stuff out there. So I suppose in that sense, I am a good writer. There are lots of way more talented writers and other people. Mm-hmm. For me, what really helped was learning a process that worked for me for writing a book.
Right.
So, as I say, it was from this book that I read, and they had a process which is similar. So what I try and do is I plan out the book first, so the structure of the book. Mm-hmm. Then I will block out a period of time, mm-hmm. and often use NaNoWriMo, which is the National Novel Writing Month event, mm-hmm. to do this. And then I sit and write the first draft as fast as possible, because there's something about having a finished first draft which makes you finish the book.
Correct.
If you don't get to the end of the book, it's so easy to abandon. And that's what I used to do. I used to like just write a bit here and there, and then it's like, oh, well. Because every time you go back to a manuscript, you're having... especially if you spent a period of time without writing on it, you have to go back and read through and work out what you said. You've forgotten what you said. You've forgotten what the characters did if it's a fiction book. You've forgotten what you've talked about if it's a non-fiction book.
Mm.
So being that, for me, just writing the first draft as fast as possible based on a plan, the plan ensures when you get held up, you just go back to the plan and say, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. Mm. And then the editing is the tedious, boring part. But because you've already got the first draft, and then you can work with editors and other people on the manuscript. And that's the process that worked for me. Yeah, it's not really your question about what a good writer.
No, but you know, I've got a follow-up question, which is that what makes a good story?
That's actually quite a profound question. I would say a story is something that indicates a good transition in somebody's thought. You can almost say it's kind of like a story is almost like a joke in a way. Because a joke is like you say something and then there's something unexpected that changes. A story is like that on a broader scale. Mm. I mean, there's all these story structures like the hero's journey and these kind of things that people say. It's usually somebody's... It changes the reader in some way. It can just entertain the reader, but that usually requires some sort of surprise or like, oh, I didn't know that, or some kind of learning with nonfiction.
Interesting. Okay. And my next question to you is that, you know, you mentioned that you self-published a few books.
Yeah.
One of the biggest challenges a lot of first-time authors face is to find a publisher.
Yeah.
So I've two questions related. How does a first-time author find a publisher? And is self-publishing an option?
Self-publishing is definitely an option. I mean, I'm slightly biased here because I run a Twitter chat, the Alliance of Independent Authors, who are self-publishing body. In terms of finding a traditional publisher, it comes back to, and we can talk about this, I'm getting everything in order, but that's where something like social media networking comes in useful, because you want to have those connections ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just competing with everybody else for getting a traditional book deal or getting a job, you are massively, you're like, it's like running the race and you're starting 20 meters behind everybody else. So because I remember the statistic, going off on a tangent here, but the US labor market survey did this survey of jobs, and I always get these figures wrong, but I think it was 40% of the jobs went to somebody that the recruiter already knew. There was no interview process. So it's like, oh, I know Ash, I'll get him in as this to run our podcast or whatever. So you're not going to see them if you're just coming in fresh, because you're not known by the recruiter.
Correct.
Of the other 60%, half went to somebody who the recruiter already knew with an interview process. So, and I'm sure there's, in fact, I suspect it's even more slanted for publishers.
Correct.
So it's like, do you want to be one of that 30% who's like 80, 90% of the people are competing in that area? Or do you want to be in one of the 70%? So that's if you want to get a traditional publisher. Now, the criteria the kind of the raw criteria for whether to decide whether to traditional publish or go self-publishing.
Hmm.
There are two kind of, like, just from a purely financial point of view.
Hmm.
If you're traditionally published by a reputable publisher, and there's mm-hmm. lots of disreputable ones out there, but that's a whole other matter.
Right.
They will cover the costs of all of the book process, all the book creation process, all the editing, and they will step you through it.
Mm.
And that is quite appealing because for you, it's a zero cost kind of effort. Mm. It should be anyway.
Mm.
But they will take their money out of your royalties. Mm. So, things like ebook royalties are like 70% for a self-publisher, while they're typically 25% for if you go through some sort of traditional publishing deal.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And it's similar with paperbacks. And you also have an advance which you earn out of, so that you won't get that any extra royalties until you paid off your advance.
That's it.
Mm. Yeah. So, but with self-publishing, you cover the costs of cover design.
Yeah.
Editing, marketing, all the rest. Well, I mean, marketing is something you really need to do however you would publish.
Absolutely, yes.
So it's like, it's an investment. So if you think your book is like a literary book of poems about 18th century Burma or something,
mm-hmm.
then chances are it's not going to sell that many copies. So if you can get somebody to traditionally publish that book for you, you probably should.
Absolutely, okay.
But if you're really confident in your book will sell well, there is an awful lot to be said for self-publishing that book because you are covering the costs yourself.
Mm.
You can get access to all... So there are platforms like readsy.com that are out there which have all of the same cover designers and editors that the traditional publishers use because most of them outsource it anyway.
Yeah.
That you can hire yourself to do the same work.
Well said.
Yeah, I mean, there are some... self-publishers, and I've met some who really cut costs. They create like their cover on paint and they do like all the editing with some woman they met at the pub or whatever. Mm. That's the very cheap end, and that those books then really don't do very well. But then there's nothing to stop you creating as good or even better book. Sometimes self-publishers overspend on covers and designs.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually create a better book or as good a book as traditionally published one, but self-publishing it. Now, I think I'm not sure how there have been issues with accessibility to self-publishing platforms. I'm not sure. I think India is one of the places that self-publish.
It is. India is a big market for self-publishing.
Yeah.
Tim, let's now move to your other expertise, which is social media networking. And I know you... spoke about this when I pulled you back again to talk about your books. But let's start by asking you that how important is networking in our lives, professionally and personally?
It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
It's only really in the last 5 years or so that I've appreciated how important it is because I wasn't doing it before.
Mm.
And it's with the benefit of hindsight. In some ways, people in corporate businesses are the people who need to network the most.
Correct.
And so few people don't understand it. It's all about networking is important because it's about building up those connections before you need them. Mm. If anybody, you've ever seen anybody on sales training or sales courses, these people, like they say, oh, get all of the people you know and ring them up and try and sell them your thing.
Yeah.
That's really too late. Some people can do that, but that's the hard process.
Right.
You really want to be in the position where they know who you are so that when they're thinking of somebody for that job, opportunity, conference, they think, oh, yeah, we'll get Ash in because we saw him. We talked to him. He's a nice guy.
Yep.
He knows his stuff.
Yep.
We'll get them in. And that's where networking is really useful.
Mm, wonderful. And social media is something which seems to be in everyone's life now.
Yeah.
How does one determine which or how many platforms should one use to network?
Well, they've all got their own attributes. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of networking, I always tell everybody to start with Twitter, which mm-hmm. is a bit controversial.
Yeah.
Twitter and possibly LinkedIn. And the mm-hmm. reason is that they are, at the moment at least, they are very open platforms. You yeah. can see what anybody is saying to anybody
correct.
On Twitter.
Mm.
And it's not just as a, like, they're not just a communication platform. They're also a database of huge amounts of information.
Mm.
So, for example, if you go, I don't know, I always use the example of Stephen King's Twitter account, but I've never actually looked at it in detail. But if you look at, like, who Stephen King is following on Twitter, chances mm. are they've got some sort of relationship with him, either their publisher or his valet or his butler or something along those lines. Mm. And you can also see how they communicated with these yeah. people. Mm. So it's a vast amount of source. So I say start with Twitter, but then generally try and get them onto the other platforms mm. because Twitter is a great way for finding people, but it's not a great way for keeping in touch with people. Correct. That's where Facebook and LinkedIn are better as platforms mm. From a networking point of view.
Yeah.
Instagram is actually a very good platform because of the stories feature, and you can see what people are posting about their day-to-day life, and you can comment on those on Instagram. It's really ultimately it's whatever platform you're most comfortable with.
Mm.
If you're spending a lot of time on a platform anyway, then maybe you want to network.
Absolutely. There. And now the younger people or the younger generation seems to be moving to the micro platforms like a TikTok.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that kind of a platform?
I waste a lot of time on TikTok. I don't usually post much. Yeah, I mean, it's a great platform. TikTok's a bit more kind of broadcast-based. But again, I always tell everybody with social media, there are three ways you interact with social media. Mm-hmm. So you can consume other people's content, which is the sort of scrolling through. You can comment on other people's content, or you can produce your own content. Okay. Now, too often, businesses are told to just keep producing content. So it's like, yeah, produce this.
Mm.
But there's an awful lot to be said for consuming somebody else's content and commenting on it.
Correct.
Obviously, if you just consume content, then you're not going to, that's no use. You're just wasting time.
Mm.
But like, if somebody comments on this show, for example, you're going to know them. You're going to have some kind of interaction with them. And the same with me.
Mm.
And that's a way to, and I think too few businesses and people are actually commenting on other people's content now. I think content has swung so that there's so much content being produced that there's so few people actually commenting on it. So I think if you want to make an impression on somebody, then watch their stuff, comment on it, then build up a relationship that way. So, and that works on any platform. So that would work on TikTok as well.
Fantastic. So Tim, I've got time for one more question, and there's one more very interesting thing that you do, which is you run Amazon.com's live book chat live.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about this and how you got involved in it.
Yeah, well, Amazon Live is it's only in the US at the moment, but Amazon have got their own kind of QVC style shopping channel mm-hmm. called Amazon Live.
Mm.
And since, I think last year, maybe the year before, influencers and other people who are on the Amazon Influencer program, which I was on because I was set up years ago, you can go live similar way to like this platform on to Amazon Live. So what I do on that show is I interview authors about their 15 to 20 favorite books.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's on Amazon, I can put all the books at the bottom of the page. And if somebody buys those books, then I get 2% of the thing. Yeah. So I think at the moment I'm making a grand total of about $4 a month doing it, but it's been fantastic for learning people's book recommendations.
I've
found some great books from that show.
Mm.
So yeah, and I've got a vanity URL, bookchat.live. People want to go onto that and they can watch the shows on there. There's also a YouTube channel that I've created with the shows as well. Mm. So people are interested in that.
Mm. Fascinating. Tim, on that note, thank you so much for talking to me. I mean, I think one big takeaway for me from our conversation is what you just said, build connections before you need them.
Yeah.
That's such a powerful lesson that you have given to all our viewers and listeners. Thank you for talking to me about your books and what goes into writing a good book and what makes a good writer. Thank you also for talking to me about social media and your thoughts on multiple platforms, on what one should be doing, how important it is to network. And finally, thank you for speaking to me about Book Chat Live. I'm sure a lot of people will go and check out your books and also go and check out whenever you are speaking live on the Amazon Amazon Live show. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.